The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Monday to you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series called His Unseen Hand, which is based on Dr. Bob Wilkins' autobiography. I'm really excited to get my hands on this book. It hasn't come out yet, but we're doing the next best thing, which is talking all about it in this series. Today, we're going to discuss some of the history of the Grace Evangelical Society. So let's go right to today's episode with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We really appreciate you guys listening to the show and supporting the ministry. We definitely covet your prayers for the future. I mean, there's so much uncertainty in the world, and we're really looking to impact the world for grace in a way that pleases the Lord and in a way that would bear the most fruit. So please, if you don't pray for us every day, I would challenge you to do that. I definitely need prayers every day. How about you, Bob?
Amen.
Yeah. So I just recently returned from vacation, and I read a biography about a painter named Keith Haring. He was very famous in the 80s. And then he died of AIDS. He was in kind of in that hedonistic kind of arts and culture movement in the early 80s in New York City. But I was surprised to find that in his teens, he had become a born-again Christian in his teens and did missions and preaching and stuff like that. Now, what did he believe exactly? You know, the biographer did not get into any of that stuff. The biographer was evidently uncomfortable with that aspect of his life. But later on, he rejected Christianity, rejected all that stuff, and went full hedonism.
But so if he believed in Christ for his eternal destiny when he was younger, then he would still be born again, even if he later rejected his earlier beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's what I think. He was just a sad example of, you know, what happens when you're reaping the consequences of walking away from the Lord and stuff like
right.
that. I was just surprised by that. But all that to say is I've been reading biographies more and more and more because I find them so interesting. And you have written a biography, or you're writing one.
Right.
His Unseen Hand, which we have been talking about here. And we're at the point, I think, in the early 2000s where some important things happened to GES in 2002 or 2003?
Well, at our annual conferences between 2002 and 2006, a number of changes took place that ultimately ended up birthing another organization that identifies as Free Grace. And in the 2002 conference, one of the plenary speakers, that's one of the speakers who spoke to the whole group, gave a message called Grace Means Go.
Yeah.
What he was suggesting is that we need to take this message overseas, around the world. That same speaker, the next year, decided that it would be a good idea at our annual conference to have a banquet that night, a small one, about 25 people were invited,
yeah,
in order to promote what he thought would be a way of getting grace out there via networking. Mm-hmm. I was invited, Sharon, my wife was invited, and there were about 13 couples, not quite that many because there were a few people individually. And I remember Dr. Rodmacher was there, and Dr. Earl Rodmacher was in agreement that we needed a new Free Grace organization. And what he said and what several others said is, Grace Evangelical Society does a good job of educating, writing, speaking, having conferences, things like that. But what GES is not strong on, he said, was connecting people.
Mm-hmm.
And so what GES would do would be equipping people, and what this new organization would do would connect people.
Mm.
And I thought that GES, one of our originating purposes was to connect people, and we did connect people. But it turns out that at this 2003 meeting, since this person that invited them was inviting people who mostly agreed we needed a new organization, the consensus around the table was, let's start a new organization.
There's a new connecting, something that's explicitly about
right.
connecting.
Later on, I met with Dr. Rodmacher, also the person who was to become the first executive director of this new group called the FGA. And Dr. R said, this won't hurt GES. This won't split GES. This is going to bless GES. And my response is, no, I think this will definitely end up splitting GES. And by the year 2006, after our 2006 conference, we went from 360 people at our 2006 conference to 160 at our 2007 conference.
So why did you think it was going to split GES in 2003? Because I guess their view was GES would be one of the ministries that were being connected with other ministries. So why did you think it would split it?
Well, I think it was because at least some of the people who were involved in the founding of this new organization did not agree with some of our positions. For example, Zane Hodges at the 2000 conference had given a message, two messages on how to lead a person to Christ.
Yeah.
And there were several people at this meeting that felt he got that wrong.
Yeah.
And it turned out at our 2006 conference, there was also a big difference of opinion on the issue of assurance.
Yeah.
As to whether at the moment of faith, a person had to believe
yeah.
that the salvation they received was irrevocable.
And so I also imagine you were coming into this new development after having some trouble in the board, which we had talked about in a previous episode.
That was 94-95.
And those were theological disagreements there.
They were mostly philosophical, but they were theological in that the board members, at least quite a few of them, felt that GES needed to be more inclusive. That was their term.
Yeah.
And that meant that we needed to be less theologically demanding, less theologically precise,
uh-huh.
and allow people to identify with GES who were maybe mildly Lordship Salvation people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a philosophical decision, but it was also theological because it turned out some of these board members thought that people who held the Lordship Salvation were brothers and sisters in Christ,
mm-hmm.
that the Lordship Salvation message was a saving message.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't Dr. R's position. He believed that Lordship Salvation was a false gospel, but still he thought this new networking organization would be helpful. And it turned out that was in 2003, in the spring of 2003. By the end of the year, I think it was in November at another conference, this new organization, the FGA, was born. And they had their own doctrinal statement, which they called their covenant of beliefs.
Yeah.
And I felt that the doctrinal statement they came up with did not accurately reflect free grace theology, that it was such a broad statement that even people holding the Lordship Salvation could agree.
So it doesn't sound like you signed on to the covenant, or did you?
No, I couldn't sign it because I felt that it was unclear.
Okay.
And so as a result, I couldn't be a member, but I really wasn't interested in being a member because I felt there was no need for this new organization. Now, having said all that, this organization today, basically from what I can tell, does not have much problem with GES. They don't talk much about areas of disagreement they have with us. I know their current executive director, and he's a friend of mine, and from everything I can tell, he doesn't have any significant problem with GES. There have been other groups that have broken off from the FGA, or maybe who are involved with the FGA but have their own ministries, that have some significant doctrinal differences with GES.
Yeah.
And those people will sometimes complain. But this whole thing was a great concern to me, and it was something that I've prayed about since then, and I pray about regularly because I want God to do with the FGA and these other organizations what God wants to do with them. I would love to see these organizations have a robust theology of free grace where they weren't trying to be more inclusive, but they were very strongly defending the fact that at the moment of faith, we're believing in Jesus for everlasting life, 1 Timothy 1:16 or John 3:16. And I would love to see them have a very robust view of what faith is, that it's simply persuasion concerning the truth, that it's not a matter of there's some emotional component and there's some willful component and where there's some sort of commitment involved. And so my prayer is that we would ultimately have unity over the essentials of free grace theology. And that could happen But this period between 2002 and 2006 was basically a time when every year at our annual conference, something happened with this new organization. In 2003, they had this meeting to talk about starting it. In 2004, at our annual conference, they had their board meeting.
Yeah.
At 2005, they had their board meeting at our conference. At 2006, they had their board meeting at our conference.
So they were still coming to the conference, even though you personally could not sign the covenant? But
yeah.
But they were still coming to GES conferences.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And they were still speakers. Some of the leaders of FGA were still some of our favorite speakers the annual conference.
So interesting. So there wasn't division yet.
No, and it wasn't that GES left this other group. It's this other group left GES. After the 2006 conference...
Well, it sounds like GES never belonged to you. I guess you as the executive director never belonged to
right.
the FGA.
But there were GES people, many, who joined the FGA and became a part of it and went to their annual conference. And in fact, now, for a while, you couldn't go to their conference unless you signed their affirmations. But they changed that policy. And so I've been to their annual conference.
Right.
Ken Yates has been to the annual conference.
Right. So during this time, so FGA people were coming to the GES conference. And I guess they didn't think of themselves as FGA people. This was just another ministry that they supported.
Right. Except for the leaders. I think the leaders had more kinship with the new organization than GES, but they still came to GES because they found some good teaching and networking with people they would see. And of course, they had their board meetings. But ultimately, we did see a separation to where, although some of the FGA people kept coming to our conference, the leaders didn't. The only leader who kept coming later became a leader, and that's Grant Hawley. Now, Grant has come to a number of our conferences, but they actually had a policy for a number of years where their leaders could not attend our conference. They were required not to
attend. So something happened, and I think we'll have to get to it in the next episode. I think that's something, the theological break happens in 2006, maybe.
That's right.
And so we'll have to talk about that in the next episode.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. In tomorrow's episode, we're going to discuss a very important year for the Grace Evangelical Society, 2006. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.